Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about cults and imperial cults and the nature of cults and what is a cult and what is not a cult. And we've gone through a little checklist that was on a particular website in the previous show. And now we'll continue with that. Just a brief recap. Talks about a group having a display of excessive zealousness about its leader. And of course, there is such an excessive zealousness seen as they choose their leaders in the world cults, and they call that an election. And everybody gets all excited, and they wear funny hats, wave signs, and they all cheer, and they get all emotional, and that's the nature of a cult. I seldom get cheers when I show up. I get jeers sometimes, and maybe boos. So anyway, I always had this idea of, you know, somebody comes to see the leader of one of our groups, and they look around and try to pick out the leader, and they keep getting it wrong. And finally we said, well, the leader, he's in the bathroom, he's cleaning the toilets, because we lead by service. We don't rule over people. We want you to question. We want you to question everything. So that was number two. We don't do any really chanting, or as far as I know, and I haven't come across too much of any of that and some of the other things that they listed off. We don't want your brain numbed. We want you to wake up. Leadership dictates, you know, what you're going to wear, who you're going to marry, how you're going to raise your children, whether you're going to fasten your safety belt or not. Well, that's the world does all those things. We don't do any of those things. We're not into bossing you around. We're too busy. I don't have time to tell you what to wear or how to raise your children. I mean, I'll talk about those things, but that's about as far as it goes. We don't have a group of elitists. The way you get higher in our network is by service. The more you bow down and serve the need, the true needs of the people, the higher up we may consider you. But it's an individual choice, because there is no hierarchy. And then the last thing that we talked about was the group polarizing us. Well, no, we don't want to polarize. We don't want to create a them and us. We are all part of mankind. And there are some that have need of repentance, but we want to be forgiving, and that is contrary to the idea of polarizing. We don't have to condemn anybody, because that's not our job. God will do that. We need to bear witness to righteousness and seek righteousness in all our ways. Okay, number seven, the leader is not accountable to any authorities. Unlike, for example, teachers, military commanders, or ministers, priests, monks, and rabbis of mainstream religion denomination. Well, we are accountable, but we are not accountable to a hierarchy, which all those people are accountable to a hierarchy. We're accountable to the congregations that we serve. If we don't do a good job, the elders of our congregation simply stop tithing to us. They can't fire us. They cannot make us unministers, but they can choose not to have us as their minister. We depend upon their free will offerings to get the job done. If they don't want to support us, they don't have to. So we're accountable. We're also accountable, we know, spiritually to God, but we're about setting people free to make choices for themselves. They need to be awake to do so, not mesmerized by chance and mind-altering practices. they have to have access to as much facts as they can. We encourage them to check out. That's why we have so many footnotes in our writings, so that you can check out where we're getting this and make decisions yourselves. And it requires a great deal of patience to offer people, you know, unlike the President of the United States, who said this job would be easier if I was a dictator. And of course, all presidents of all the United States and almost all leaders of all countries are dictators, because they tell you what you have to give, how often you have to give it, what you can do, how you can train your children, how, if you can keep your children or not, who you can marry, when you can marry, etc. They regulate that. I mean, sometimes they're kind of benevolent about it, but they have all kinds of laws, tens of thousands of laws, regulating and heavily influencing almost every activity of the people. That makes all governments cults. Their leaders have an unbelievable power over your daily activity. We have no power. As a matter of fact, in our congregations, the people have a great deal of power, because they don't have to give us a thing. They don't have to support us. We actually encourage them. We encourage the elders. If you give to your minister, you watch what he does, because it is still your responsibility, if you're going to give to him again, to know what he's done with the power that you have given him. Because you give him power when you give him money, and hopefully he does well with it. We have somebody headed down to Weed again. I believe they've already left. And one of the people who donated 7 5-gallon buckets of food asked if they could have the buckets back. So they're going to pick up the buckets and return them, hopefully, when they go down there. They're also going to be doing some more work on making sure the big truck stuff sitting in another town miles away from the disaster, some of that stuff gets to where it's needed. And we were praised, and thanks to the people who contributed, about when they organized the clothes, they organized it according to size, you know, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old. And so it made it very easy for the people on the ground to say, you know, my 2-year-old needs clothes. Well, here's a whole bag full of 2-year-old clothes. Go through that. Anything you don't want, we'll put back in the 2-year-old section. These people already lost their home and everything. They don't need to be given more work. They need to be helped. And so that's the job of the church. And that's how you get to be higher in the church, is to be of a greater and greater help. So, yeah, our leaders are all accountable, and we encourage the elders to police their leaders. The leaders are free to do what they want with what they've already received, but they know in the back of their mind they need to do a good job with what they get, or the elders may not give to them next time, because we're a grassroots-run network. This is the only way to run a free nation. Only way to run a free nation. Anything else is not a free nation. If somebody's telling you how much you must contribute, you're not free. You're not free to choose. The fact that you get to elect somebody, well, they got to elect Saul, but they were no longer a free nation. They were now, even the election of Saul was called a rejection of God. And that's still the case. So anyway, number 8. The group teaches or implies that its supposedly exalted ends justify whatever means it deems necessary. Now, I actually had this conversation. There's more to that. Let me mark this so I don't lose my place. I had this conversation. Somebody started a health clinic. I just had this with several other people in a local valley, and they wanted to start a health clinic, because it's miles and miles and miles to a hospital. We're over 100 miles to the hospital. And so they wanted this clinic. And so I said, well, it's a worthwhile deal. So I was going to volunteer. I helped make drawings, and I helped, you know, organize different things. And then somebody says, well, you know, of course, we're going to have to put this on the tax rolls. I says, well, now, if you want to put it on the tax rolls, I can't help you anymore. I can't facilitate that, because the tax rolls is not based on free will offerings, and I'm a Christian, and Christians support one another through free will offerings. if you want to put it on the tax rolls, you want to use force. And John the Baptist was adamantly against that. Jesus Christ was adamantly against that. You can't use a sword to collect from your neighbor, or a gun to collect from your neighbor so that you can have a health clinic. That's the end justifies the means concept. But they need the health clinic, so that's okay to use a gun to force them to contribute, which is what, whenever you look to the government to provide benefits, you're asking somebody with a gun to compel your neighbor to contribute. I mean, you can say, oh no, that's not it. They have a right to vote. That's just rationalization. Governments are forced. George Washington told you that. It's forced. It's fearful. It's dangerous. Don't look to the government to build your health clinic. Build it yourselves. It may not have been as fancy. It might have been a little trailer. But you could do it yourself. It will change the nature of your society. But you choose to use force. You become like Nimrod. You become like Cain. You bludgeon your neighbor to make him do what you think is right. By force. That is anti-Christ. So we are the ones who say, no, the means is where the justification comes from. Did you do it by faith, hope, and charity? You know, if I tell you, if you start taking care of one another with faith, hope, and charity alone, you will see miraculous healings. If you use force, you will see forced vaccinations causing serious, serious health problems throughout the world and a lot of other things. And they will round you up and force you. But you've been forcing people to pay for your public schools, pay for your health care. You're just ripe for dictatorship and totalitarian rule. The popots are lined up in your country if you're using force to create your social welfare system. That's the antithesis of Christ. He said, it is not to be that way with you. But yet it is. We're the ones that are saying, no, the means that you use will justify the ends. And not only that, miraculously will make the ends great or miraculously destroy your nation. Because that's a miracle too. I mean, you know, fireballs, fire and brimstone. Destruction is coming to those who will not walk in the ways of Christ. And the ways of Christ are love. Call me a cult if you want. But that's what we're preaching, is that you have to come together in your congregations and start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, and stop all this ridiculous religiosity. You know, your doctrines. I saw that we just got two more emails from this fellow on Facebook who just, you know, he's just droning on his religious rhetoric. He's lied to us already and got caught in a lie. Said his kids never went to public school. And we find out, well, actually, one of his kids, at least one of them, did go to public school. Didn't go a lot to it. And I commend him for the homeschooling that he has done. But why did he lie? Because it's about what he appears to be. He's constantly trying to save face. And he is making himself the fool in doing so. But there will be people that will agree with him because they are fools too. Fools love company. But anyway, his explanation under this means justifying the end or end justifying the means, we don't go along with the end being justified. I mean, the means being justified by the end. That's a Pol Pot argument. That's an Adolf Hitler argument. Get the chains to run on time kind of thing, no matter what it costs in lives. So that's not a good thing. He goes on to say, this may result in members participating in behaviors or activities they would have considered reprehensible or unethical before joining the group. For example, lying to family or friends, collecting money for bogus charities. So, do you know any big organizations that collect money for bogus charities? If that doesn't fit the governments of the world, I don't know what. I mean, the whole conversation on Facebook with this Michael started because he was upset, or somebody was upset, about the fact that Pelosi and Bonnard were getting together to pass a bill that was going to require funding for abortion and ISIS and Obamacare, etc. And he was saying, we don't have any choice in the matter. Well, of course you have no choice in the matter. Did you give your neighbors choice as to whether they wanted to contribute to your child's free education? Did you give your neighbors choice to contribute to the fire department? We have a volunteer fire department out here. It's supported by volunteers, volunteer funding. Now, they do go and try to get government grants, but it's a volunteer fire department. Did you know the first fire departments in America were volunteer fire departments? And you could become a member? It was just like a company. You could become a member, and then they would be, you know, if there were two houses burning and you were a member, they would work on saving your house mostly. They would only work on the other house to prevent it from catching your house. But they were volunteers. They didn't operate by force. That's the way you should do it in every city. If you did, what would happen is the places that people don't volunteer, their homes would burn down. The people who don't support a volunteer fire department, the people who don't care about their neighbors as much as themselves, their homes would burn down. And people would learn again that we have to care about one another, or we cannot survive as a society. They would understand the gospel of Christ, that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. It would be built into their system. But instead, you've built into the system covetous practices. We will force our neighbors to pay for an extravagant fire department, and then we will be safe. And you've lived by force, you've lived by the sword for generations now. So much so that you think it's the norm. And it is the norm for you, but it isn't the norm in history, and it certainly isn't the norm of Christ. You live in a cult. And you're destroying one another, and you're destroying the character of your society. Number 9. You have to remember, I haven't read these before. I'm just reading them now. So who's the cult, baby? You're the cult. We're talking about something else, entirely separate. We're talking about individual right to choose. What Paul calls exousia, your liberty to choose. The original liberty to choose was granted to every man who was given dominion. But men give it up. They give up dominion. They say, you can make a choice for me. And then they say, wonder why Pelosi and Bonner have the right to make you pay for abortions. Well, you ask them to force their neighbors to pay for your child's education. You ask them to force your neighbor, men like them, to build you a fire department. You've been about force in this country for generations now. And every other country has followed after your ways. You've led them down the path to destruction. And it's easy to turn around, but it's a long ways back. But you're going to have to make the journey or die. Because all these systems based on force eventually turn the gun on themselves. You ever notice that? How these guys who go into malls and they shoot these people and then they shoot themselves. Why is that? It's because their self-destructive spirit, the spirit of force, is a self-destructive spirit. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Your whole nation in England, Australia, wherever. They're all living by the sword. They're all providing social welfare by force. Until John the Baptist, everybody in the Roman Empire was doing the same thing. But John the Baptist said, you know, if you got two coats and your neighbor doesn't have one, share. He's talking charity. Do the same in meats. Is that what you do in your church? No. Somebody has a shortfall. Somebody needs help. You send them to men who exercise authority one over the other. We're too busy singing and chanting and meditating and praying. You're a member of a cult. We're saying, like Paul says, you have need of works. Yeah, Paul talks about works. Did you know that? You wouldn't know that because people take what he talks about, works of the law, when he's talking about pharisaical approach, not saving you. And he's right. But you have the works of righteousness you need to be doing. If you're not, that's evidence your faith is false. If all you're going to do is pray for somebody when their family is being threatened by cult members of government to tear that family apart, and all you're going to do is pray for them, not actually do something, then you're not a Christian. You have need of repentance. You're deluded. You need to show up. You need to be there for one another. There's a movie with Denzel Washington about Malcolm X. Very interesting scene in there where somebody has been arrested and beat up and they're bleeding to death and they need to get hospital care, but they're just thrown down in the prison, in the jail. And all the people are across the street ranting and raving and screaming. And nobody's paying any attention to them. And then Denzel Washington playing Malcolm X comes up with his guys marching, all wearing suits and ties. And they come up and they sit across the way and they just about face them. And they look organized. And the cops say, hey, chief, you better look at this. And they just talk. They don't do anything. They didn't come with guns. They just came with suits and ties. And it had a profound effect. Can you imagine if you came in an organized fashion, with bound not by hate, but by love? Oh, you would be the most intimidating force on the face of the earth. But you have to come, and love requires practice. You have to come together and practice that love. Stop shaking your fist at the cults of the world. Start seeking the righteousness of God. Talks about in number 9 that the leadership induces feelings of shame and or guilt in order to influence and or control members. Often this is done through peer pressure and subtle forms of persuasion. And of course, the world does that. The world governments do that. But they don't stop at shame and guilt. They have men in black robes that say, guilty, going to jail. I actually know somebody in Colorado who is, I think he's actually following a course that he feels he needs to follow. And he can do that. It's not the course of the church. But he needs to do that. He considers himself to be a constitutional Christian, which I think is an oxymoron. Because the Constitution, and if you read our book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, you'll see that the Constitution is missing the 4 of the 5 elements that the Bible tells us to put in a Constitution. And if you read the whole book, you'll find out a lot of things about the Constitution that the men who established it were very afraid would take place and have taken place. That a Christian actually is going to find his salvation in another direction, other than the Constitution. I don't want to do away with the Constitution. I'm not against the Constitution. It's what people think they needed, and they have every right to follow that way if they want. It is not their salvation. Their salvation lies in another direction, and that's the direction that Christ pointed in. There was a constitution in Rome, and Jesus did not come to change the constitution or enforce it. He came to show us another way that changes us and allows us to be changed. So anyway, this individual has been protesting the closure of roads by the BLM. They say in the news people say that they don't recognize the authority of government. They don't recognize the authority of the BLM to close roads they believe should only be closed by county authorities. Personally, I can show you, in England, they have what they call ancient paths that people have walked since the days of Robin Hood and before. And now they put up roads and they put up fences and they block those paths. So the English, for years and years now, and they're very organized about it, they have people who go out and hike those paths every year. And they keep those paths open. And that is really the role of the church, to keep those paths of liberty open. And we'll tell you more about how they do that and how that is implemented. But you have to do it. You see, I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not a cult leader. You need to find leadership in your own heart and mind and be led by the Holy Spirit. And we'll tell you how to do that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. there are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're looking at this concept of cults, and that cult, if you want to find something that fits the description of the cult according to these people, governments of the world fit this, because when you talk about subservience to a leader, that's governments today. Did you know that in ancient times, many of the men that we label as kings, they had to knock at your door if they wanted to come in. They didn't have the kind of autocratic totalitarian power we see with some kings. Say king, it doesn't mean that they have that power. There were shepherd boys who scolded the king. And I'm not talking about David, I'm actually talking about in Ireland. But then again, David put the king to shame, which was number nine, induces a feeling of shame, because David was a leader after God's own heart. And if Christians would actually do what Christians are supposed to be doing, not what the modern Christians are doing, but what the early Christians were doing, they would begin to shame the world. They would begin to show the world that you did not need force to take care of the needy of your society. You could have done it by faith, hope, and charity, and it would have changed you. And then the world will hate you. And then the world will try to destroy you, keep you from doing this because you shame them. But if you are truly sincere in the ways of God, you will have the protection of God. Just like Moses and the Israelites had the fiery pillar protecting them from the Pharaoh. You will need a miracle. And right now the miracle is if you will repent and return to the ways of Christ. And start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And during the break, I took a look at the fellow on Facebook. He just wrote, was saying just ridiculous stuff. You know, he constantly does this because he doesn't want to deal with the actual case. He says, and yet some odd reason, there is not one single word in the New Testament about them condemning the Roman Empire. Well, he condemned Corbin and Roman Empire was using Corbin at the time. They had their own form of Corbin, the free bread and circuses, and everybody knew it. He also says, call no man on earth father, and at that time, all the senators were called patre, and if you look in the Greek, you'll see the word patre there. And he talks about call no man on earth father, and that's exactly what Rome was saying, is that it was the father of all nations. Even its emperor was called Patronus, our father, and if you applied for benefits, you applied to your father in Rome. It was all based on that. So he did condemn that aspect, that direction, that way that the Roman government was going. But he said, he goes on to say, calling for the believers to stop paying taxes. We don't call for people to stop paying taxes. And we don't tell you to remove yourself from supporting the government. Any more than, you know, I mean, you can avoid taxes, but you can't evade taxes. But avoiding taxes is legal. But we're saying avoid applying for benefits. Start taking care of one another. Even if there's a local fire department that is paid for by funds, we think you should put together means in your community to deal with fire, deal with emergencies. We have this whole thing where we have what we call all the congregations together are FEMA, Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. Start preparing to take care of one another. Don't wait till the disaster. Don't wait till CPS comes and tries to take away your children. and bring fear to your family by imposing guilt because you didn't get vaccinations or you're homeschooling your children. See, he's just full of false accusations. You can't find anywhere where we're saying the stuff that he's accusing us of. Because he's not in love with the truth, which is why he found it so easy to lie until one of his friends said, "Oh, didn't one of your daughters go to public school?" But now he denies that that's a lie. Because he said she got a real education at home. She just went to the school. Well, she did go to public school. And again, it's really irrelevant. The important thing is that he's not in love with the truth. He doesn't want to know the truth. But anyway, back to this thing where an individual is, trying to protest the BLM closing roads. And I was talking to you about in England, they had these paths that have been around for 1,000 years and more. And they walk them and they make a record of walking these paths. And if somebody puts up a fence, they install a very nice gate there that they can open and close. And they pass through the gate. And they make a record that they pass through the gate. And it's right of travel of those ancient roads by use. People talk about America being a republic, but everybody's a member of a democracy now. We won't have time to go into explaining what that means. But the United States Creed says, "I believe in the United States, a democracy within a republic." You get all your benefits from the democracy by voting to take away from your neighbor to fund your benefits. In a republic, you had to do it by free will offerings. Read the story of Davy Crockett on our website. Look up Davy Crockett at hisholychurch.org and you'll find a document. And it tells the story of when he was a congressman and what he was running into. And there's the mindset of early America. We can do this ourselves. We can take care. There's a fire. We will help out one another. We will do it. It should not come out of government funds. Because we're the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. It's that simple. That's what we're preaching. Take back your responsibilities. Don't tear out the BLM gate by force. Put in your own gate. Now, the individual, he's protesting, but he's facing 10 years in federal prison because of what he did. I mean, judge probably won't give him that, but he could get a year. He could get 6 months. And it's not a sound strategy. And besides that, you should not be setting men free who will not seek righteousness. I would not tear down that gate so they could go four-wheeling down that road for anybody who is not taking care of the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity. That's a fact. And that's what we need to do. We need to start taking back our responsibilities in every aspect of our lives where we don't have to face 10 years in jail, that we're actually out there shaming the wicked and earning the praise of the righteous because we're doing that which Christ came to do. We're showing people the ways of righteousness, the ways of love. So the subservience of leaders, that's not us, that's you guys. Group is preoccupied with bringing in new members. Well, we don't even like to use the word members. All our congregations are free assemblies. You're only a member as long as you're assembled. When you walk away from the assembly, you're you. You don't give up your right to choose on anything. You know how it works? Most governments throughout the world today, not throughout history, but throughout the world today, you give up your right to choose, your excusia, by signing up for their beneficial program. And you're saying, now I will pay in whatever you say by statute, by the subservience to these leaders that you have signed up, if you take care of my social welfare, my whatever. And you become a member. And they control that membership and what you have to pay in. And they provide benefits for you. all of which you could do for yourselves if you would gather together in free assemblies. So what the church was, what ancient Israel was, is that you maintain your right to choose, to police your leaders. But you gathered together and you said, okay, there's a need over here, because we hear about this through our network of congregations. We're going to give 20 sheep, and 2 cows, and 10 bags of grain, and 4 vases of oil to this cause, and we're going to give it to this minister, to these ministers on this altar of stone, these altars of living stone, these ministers, and you take care of this business. If they don't do a good job, you don't give to them next week. If they do a good job, now you have a place to flow your charity through. It's your responsibility to keep that flow open. You've shut that down and gone to men who exercise authority. You've abandoned the altars of the Republic, the altars of free will offerings, in exchange for those altars of forced offerings. Oh, you have a little bit of charity in your church, but the bulk of it is handled by men who exercise authority. You need to reopen those ancient paths of righteousness and start taking care of one another. Start with baby steps. Gather together. Stop worrying about, conspiracy theories and how do I get out of paying taxes and all that stuff. Start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness by coming together and taking care of one another in whatever way is possible to you. It will take personal sacrifice, and God will bless that. It goes on in, let's see, what are we down to? Number 12, the group is preoccupied with making money. Well, that ain't us, but that certainly is the world, the cults of the world, the political cults of the world. They want more and more money, and they spend more than they get in, and so now they got y'all in debt. And so now you're preoccupied with making money to pay a debt that will never be paid. So, who's the cult? Members are expected to devote inordinate amount of time to the group and group-related activities. That's the imperial cults of the world. How much time? I asked my dad, who he worked for when I was a small boy. He was an attorney. And he very precise in his language. And he said, until July 1st, I worked for the government. He was in a 50% income tax bracket. Because 50% of the time that he spent was for the government. He was working for this client or that client, but the value of his labor was going to go to the government. And you see, the church is a government. It's one form of government that has been terribly neglected for your superstitions and your ideologies that you worship. It's simple. Come together and start loving one another. Moses said it. Christ said it. This is live by faith. Start trusting in the ways of Christ. Yeah, it will take a lot of time, but His burden will be light compared to what you have now. And the fact is you're going to have to pay your tally of bricks now, gleaning the field at night for your straw, in order to start opening up those pathways towards the kingdom, maintaining that entrance to the kingdom of God. You have to start, but now you know the direction. Members are encouraged or required to live and or socialize only with other group members. Absolutely the opposite of what we tell you. We tell you, you may be the only one who's bringing the Holy Spirit. We tell you, be cautious about going out and telling everybody everything. Take this slow. But we do not want to isolate you. We want you to share with others. But share what? Get out of the system? No. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Start becoming the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. You don't have to explain every detail. Show the principles of Christ and the early church. Talks about the most loyal members, the true believers, feel there can be no life outside the context of the group. Well, we actually talk about the extended network all the time, those outside the group that have kingdom tracks in their life. You know, they may not join our network, but they may be homeschoolers. They may be interested in home health. They may be interested in justice. And like the fellow who tore down the barricade and is facing jail time now. He didn't do it because he wanted to destroy the barricade. He knew he was going to be a test case. I think it was a poor strategy, but it was his choice. We'll see where it comes. Because I know this individual has a lot of power in him, a lot of spiritual power in him. But he has to let go of some things too. We all do. And to get on that path. And he may have to go through this in order to find that. I don't know. Everybody has to make their own choices and decisions. That's not what cults tell you. They tell you, we are here from the government. We will decide for you. If you're doing a good job with your children. And if you're not, we're going to take your children away from you and give them to somebody else. We'll take your house away from you. We'll take everything away from you. That's a cult. They believe there is no other way to be, and often fear reprisals to themselves or others if they leave or even consider leaving the group. We want you to go out and teach others, share with others. We want you to bless others so that they will learn what a blessing righteousness is. So anyway, that's pretty much the end of the list. And you have to start thinking about these things. You have to start realizing that we're heavily influenced by what has gone before. That the system of the world today is not the result of fraud. It's the only fraud is us. We said we love God. And it's not true. If we love God, we would love the ways of God. And the ways of God is not the ways of forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, which we do at every turn today. We have to repent, turn around, and go the other way. Do something quite different from what we've been taught. But it has to be based on love. It has to be based on caring. It has to be based on charity, a charity that strengthens the poor. And that means you have to come together. On our cult page, which hopefully eventually we'll put some of these audios on, and we'll probably talk about it in our next program. We have another broadcast later on this afternoon. And I have a picture of a modern woodcut that is a picture of, looks like Egyptians. And the people are all like carrying something. And what they're carrying is the Pharaoh. And this is the pyramid structure, the people at the bottom, and they carry these rulers who tell them where to go and what to do, and they have a taskmaster out front who will point them and direct them. That's the cults of the world. They allow for other cults to exist, religious cults to exist within them, and that same spirit will manifest itself in these religious cults. But they're not allowed to use the same kind of force. They have to use psychological force. And so that's what we've become to define today, is this psychological force. And I may work a little bit more on this, but this word cult comes from the French word, and it comes from earlier words from the Latin cultus, which meant to worship. It also comes from a word that means to cultivate. And to cultivate is to plow this furrow. And see, with your practices, your daily practices, it begins to redesign your soul, redesign your mind and your thinking. You need to have this other practice, not the practice of Cain, but the practice of Seth and Melchizedek and Abraham, who did not want to exercise authority. one over the other, but wanted to practice pure religion through faith, hope, and charity. And you have to be willing to look at all things anew in order to get to that point in your mind and in your heart where you can actually start doing this. You cannot change yourself. But if you follow the ways of Christ, which they're not even preaching in most churches, which is this way of faith, hope, and charity, and love, if you will follow that way, you will be changed. Or you'll come face to face with your unwillingness to change, which is often the case, and then you get another choice, chance to repent. You realize, oh my gosh, I've been selfish. Oh my gosh, I've been neglectful. Oh my gosh, I have not helped one another. I haven't been laying down my life to save others. So I'm not going to have life more abundant. I've been depending on men who heavily influence, even with force, my neighbor to provide for me. And there's disaster coming. I don't want you to be afraid of it. Just realize it. I mean, the winter's coming. We're going to have to go cut firewood because it's going to get cold. I'm not afraid of winter. I just know it has to be provided for. Well, everybody talks about economic collapse and, you know, CMEs and invasion of foreign troops and all these kinds of things, you know. And you can, I mean, if you're listening to Alex Jones, only listen a little bit. It will warp your mind. I don't know how he keeps that up all day long. But the reality is, there are bad things coming. They always come. Difficult things. CPS may knock on your door. Somebody else may knock on your door. Somebody may break in, just an out-and-out regular criminal may break in and try to rob you. Your house may catch on fire. You know, the people in Weed, the fire came through rapidly. Through no fault necessarily of their own, although, you know, they may have been able to do things prior to the fire that may have protected their homes a little bit better. I've always been astounded that the Lapine Fire Department was, the siding was wood shingles with trees right up against the side of the building. I thought fire departments were supposed to be made out of brick. So they did, at least the fire department didn't burn down. But they opted for what looked good, which is modern religion, what feels good. You don't go to church to feel good if you go to church for the purposes of Christ. Christ didn't come here to the earth to feel good. He came here to save others, to serve others, to serve others in a way that would lead them to the salvation of God. He came to teach them how to be patient, to forgive, and to give. Because that's the nature of God. And when you plow that furrow in your heart, God is allowed in and can start changing you. And you can become a conduit for His power of life, for the tree of life. And you will see the miracles that modern religion is falling short of. And you won't need guys standing there yelling and screaming and waving their hands and, you know, a lot of that is satanic. But we'll have to talk about this again next time on Keys to the Kingdom. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.